Bibles, if not, to Genesis chapter number 13 tonight. Sometimes you end up in a place, you don't know why you end up there, but just something sticks out with you when you're there and want to look at a thought or two tonight. In chapter 13, a book of Genesis, the Bible says, and Abram went up out of Egypt. Now remember, he had been down in Egypt. He got himself in some trouble in Egypt. He claimed that Sarah was his sister, and Pharaoh wanted his sister because she was so fair looking. And so because of his deceit, he just about could have lost his life had it not been for the protection of God. Normally in that situation, you go in to see Pharaoh, you would end up being killed. He would have took your wife and you wouldn't have had any choice about it. The Bible says, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journeys from south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. There was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle, the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and Perizzites dwelt in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest out unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, let me stop right there, and I want to bring a thought or two, and I know many times you've heard many, many messages preached from this, but I want to look at Lot and Abraham just a little bit and look at a couple thoughts that we can gain from them, especially Lot. You know, the amazing thing about Lot, and I know we've talked about it before, Peter reveals to us something that surprised many, that Lot was actually a saved man. But also Peter reveals in his writing that you can get your eyes off the Lord. You can get to such a place in your life where you forget that you was once purged from sin. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about being backslidden. People use that term today. But to be honest with you, the term backslidden is only used in the Old Testament. To backslide, they were able to backslide upon God. In the New Testament, it's basically the thing that we think of backsliding is losing fellowship with God. You don't lose your relationship, you lose your fellowship. It's easy to lose fellowship. And usually the culprit behind losing fellowship is sin. When sin happens, you know, when Adam and Eve, they fellowship with God in the Garden of Eden, and what happened when they sinned? What did they do when the voice of God came walking through the garden? What did they do? They went and hid. Why? Because sin caused them to break fellowship. They knew that they were wrong. They knew that they had done wrong, and therefore they didn't want to face God. They didn't want to hear what God had to say. And so they hid themselves. Well, here we find Abraham and Lot. Now, think about a couple of things real quickly. If you look back in chapter 12, the first part of chapter 12 is where God promises Abraham that he's going to make him a great people, a great nation. He's also going to give him the land in which is being fought over today. And eventually all that land will be Israel's that God promised Abraham. And so it's useless to fight over that land because God has done, wrote the deed of whose land that is. And so there's battles every day over that. Israel's in a constant battle to preserve certain land. But one of these days, God will grant it all back just as he promised Abraham. But now after this, we find that Abraham went down into Egypt. And there, Abraham was not a perfect man either. Abraham had some issues in his life. Now, when he come back out of there, he had great substance. But notice that there was strife. Sometimes we look at Lot, but I say Abraham had some responsibility in this too. Abraham was not right with God. And when he come up out of there, what he did was he built an altar and he come and he tried to make things right with God, because he'd gotten away from God. But yet in the meantime, if you notice, as he built the altar, Lot was not to be found. And so God had blessed them with great possessions. And there's nothing wrong with having possessions. As a matter of fact, most of us has more than what we need. God's given us many more. And the key is this. If there's nothing wrong with having possessions, as long as the possessions doesn't have you. If they get where they have you, and they control your life, they control your thinking, and I've seen it time and time again, when somebody gets a little something, they want more and more and more, and then they just completely lose themselves into it. Don't ever do that. It's not worth it. I've seen people that was very rich, some of the saddest people I ever met. I've seen them go down into eternity unprepared, and all they could think about was money, 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 money. They think about losing a little bit here, losing a little bit there. Everything upon their mind is thinking about money. And so don't ever get yourself in that position, because if you're not careful, your possessions will own you. But anyway, in looking at this, notice here that Lot come out and there were some issues. Now, first of all, Lot made a decision that he, his herdsman and Abraham's herdsman was having strife. Now, let me say this. The strife didn't begin at this point. They had led up to this while they were together. And there was things that was happening. Sometimes people said, well, so-and-so was going to church. I don't understand what happened. They've been going to church for some time. But listen, strife can begin, and backsliding, if you want to call it, or losing fellowship, can start right where we sit. In the church, we can get just as far away from God in the church as we can anywhere else. And Lot began to lose fellowship with God while he was with Abraham. He didn't want to fellowship with the man of God. And what you'll find is, you'll find that when people lose that fellowship, they don't want to be around the things of God. And they'll find excuses and reasons why to go other places and not to be around it where they hear and are reminded of things in their life. Well, Lot was that way, and so what he did was, Abraham come to the point, because of the strife that had built up, and he wanted to choose and let him choose which way he wanted to go. Now, what you find in the land in which Lot chose, a lot of people still, they say they don't know exactly where it's at. The other day, Chris and I, we went to a church and we was in Sunday school class, and they were listening to some of these commentators, and they were dealing with a couple issues that God did bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they were trying to find a logical explanation for manna. In other words, that an insect would eat something and the debris that would be left would be called manna. Instead of just saying that, listen, God just rained bread down from heaven. They kept trying to listen to some type of a scholar, if you want to say that, and they kept trying to justify it instead of saying God just worked a miracle. But anyway, when you get into this, you notice the Sodom, wherever Sodom was, usually is connected with Gomorrah. But when you study about the land of Sodom, you figure and you find they had no place for the Word of God. And sadly enough, our nation is beginning to show signs that it has no stomach for the Word of God. The Word of God, to most people, and even a lot of times, to be honest with you, people call themselves Christians. You can sit down and ask them about things in the Bible, and they are completely ignorant. And we had someone, Chris was talking to someone the other day, and they said, you know, I just don't understand. I was baptized as a baby, and I don't understand. I just don't feel that I'm what I'm supposed to be, or I'm not where I need to be. And so therefore they were searching for something. And they had that idea. And you would think if someone would go to church that they would hear things and they would understand things. But that's not always true. There is a hatred growing in America toward the Word of God. Not only that, there is a loss of shame. There's no shame. And I do appreciate, I heard Brother Porter praying for our president. I think that is completely proper, and we ought to do that. I even prayed for President Obama, and to be honest with you, he was one of my most disliked presidents that we've ever had. I thought he'd done more damage to this country than any president I remember in some time. But anyway, getting back to that, let me say this. That I appreciate some of the vice president and president Stan. I appreciate they rode the vice president to death for getting up and leaving the football game the other day. But I appreciate him doing that. I think it's a shame, and when we've lost all shame, that we can that we don't have any respect for anything anymore, and there's something wrong with us. But also we find there was a lapse in society. Society just wasn't what it used to be. And so they begin to accept a lot of things within society. We about destroyed this country because we tried to accept every imagination and every lustful thing. And we tried to make it right and make it look good and make it a proper and make it a something that... And the school systems are trying to force children to respect things that we just don't agree with at all. But anyway, there's a lapse of society. And then, of course, then you see a separation and a lack of separation a lot of times between God's people and the world. But anyway, getting back to this, knows that Lot, his problem was he made a choice. Be honest with you, all of our problems most of the time come because of our choices. Boy, I sure have made some choices that I'd like to take back. I made some terrible choices. Amen. And I made some choices that I've had to pay prices for. And so here we find that Lot and Abraham got together, and the Bible said that strife began to build up. And of course, the problem originated because, like I said, they begin to gain in wealth. And you say, well, that's a good thing. But that's not always a good thing for everybody. But anyway, when you look at this, notice that their problem, instead of sitting down and resolving their problem, they separated from their problem. They didn't talk about it. They didn't deal with it. They didn't face it. They just ran from it. And so they separated. So Lot thought the best thing to do is, instead of sitting down and sending everybody down and working it out, he went to Sodom. The Bible says he just pitched his tent toward Sodom, like he had no intention of being there, because the last verse we read in verse 13 said that Sodom were wicked and sinners, and before the Lord exceedingly. And so, in other words, it had a reputation of knowing exactly what was in Sodom. Now, notice here that when they came, they began to, Abraham realized that there was a issue. So what he did was he came to Lot. He offered Lot a decision. And I know most of this you know, but again, I don't know why. It just kind of just laid upon me tonight when I was studying about what to bring out. But notice here that there was a couple reasons why that the Bible mentions that Abraham wanted to have peace. Number one, they were brethren. And can I say this? You've heard me teach on this a lot. In the church, there ought to be peace.
Amen.
We're brethren. We don't always have to agree with everybody on every point, but we have to have peace. The Bible says how precious and sight of the Lord is, or how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. In other words, he wants us to dwell in unity, not to be fighting and fussing and arguing all the time. That's not of God. There's nothing that sickens me anymore than go into a church and find people in there arguing with one another. If I've got to be that, then I'll get up and I'll find another place. Go. I'm not going to go there and be that way and feel that way. I'm just not going to do that. And so here, Abraham thought the best situation was to just give Lot a choice, and he chose. The second reason given is the Bible says there was Canaanites and Perizzites. And so, in other words, there was heathen that was looking, watching, seeing what they would do. Now, for two reasons. One is, when the brethren begins to fight, the old devil looks for a way to come in and take over. And he will. If you want to see the devil tear up a church, let the brethren begin to have strife and fight among each other. And boy, you'll see how quick the old devil comes in. And man, he'll tear up a place in a hurry.
Amen.
And so there the enemies, the heathen that was enemies of Abraham and Lot, they were in danger because they were having strife among each other instead of being a support for one another. And so therefore, they had to be careful that the Canaanites and Perizzites didn't get together and come upon them and try to take advantage of the strife that was going on. The second thing is, these heathen people had heard of Abraham's God. And so they were watching, see how Abraham behaved himself. And so again, Abraham had to make a decision. So he gave the choice, and Lot chose. Now, notice here a couple things. Lot, he chose by sight. He looked, he saw everything was well watered. He thought, hey, he's making a choice for economic reasons. He thought he would better himself economically, but he chose by sight. And so therefore, he seemed to live in that. And not only that, but he also chose for his own self. He was thinking about nobody but himself. Abraham was the elder. He got most of what he got only because of Abraham. And because of God's relationship with Abraham, God had blessed Abraham and Lot had been blessed in the process. And instead of Lot being grateful to Abraham, Lot didn't want to follow under the direction of Abraham, and he wanted to separate from Abraham. And so therefore, we find that he was thinking of nobody but himself. Now, listen to me just a moment. Now, I know most of this is known, but sometimes we need to be reminded because sometimes I have to remind myself. Whenever we get in a position where we lose fellowship with God, we not only begin to allow our eyes to look and lust and go and see, but we also begin to think about nobody but self. It's all about us. And we think about us, just what's good for us, and that's it. Not only that, but also we find that we allow Satan to come into our life and to make a mess. Now, when you get into this, you find that some people says, well, I've had some people argue that Lot was a saved man, but then he got lost and he got saved again, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that he was a righteous man, but his soul was vexed daily by the filthy conversation. The word vexed means that it bothered him. When he first went to Sodom, the things he heard, the things he saw, it really bothered him. And it kind of tore him up a little bit. But soon he began to look, he began to act, he began to be like the people of Sodom. As a matter of fact, later on the Bible says that he was sitting in the gates of Sodom and he was judging in Sodom. Not only that, but also he decided, and when you get away from God, instead of trusting God and looking God, you begin to try to work your own problems out. You begin to deal with it in your own ways, not the direction that God said. And so what we do is we find that we go and we find ourselves that sometimes we get in a position that we don't even recognize ourselves. Now think about this just a moment before I close, but think about this just a few minutes. When you think about Lot and you see what happened, you follow the Bible through, what did it gain Lot in the choice that he made to Sodom? I mean, think about when Abraham prayed. Anybody remember how many people that Abraham prayed and asked God if he could find that many righteous people? He started out with what? Anybody remember? 50. And he got down to what? 10. And imagine if he had had 10. Now, and I know you've done the numbers and heard the numbers before, but if Lot and his wife and his two daughters and his sons-in-laws and daughters that was married to his sons-in-laws, they had to be at least two because it's plural. If they had all been, that would have been the 10. But the problem was that the Bible teaches us that there's a couple things that had entered into his life. It got to the point where when the angel came into Sodom in chapter 19, wanted Lot to leave, you find four things happen. One is Lot lingered, the Bible said. Lingered. It means he was very hesitant to come out of it. He got so adjusted to it. Have you ever seen someone who you really had confidence that you thought was saved, but they got so far back in the world, you begin to question things about them? That's where Lot had gotten. He was lingering. And you go and you try to encourage them to come out, you try to tell them some things that's coming their way, and yet the whole time he lingered. That's where Lot had gotten. Then, not only had Lot lingered, but the Bible says his son-in-laws laughed. He had absolutely nothing with his son-in-laws. They had no respect for anything you had to say. He told them what was going to happen. He told them about judgment and all those things. And you know what? None of them wanted to hear a word he had to say. They had no confidence in him. And so here he was. His son-in-laws was fixing to die and go to hell and be burnt in Sodom like the rest of them and perish from hailstones falling and fire and brimstone falling from heaven. And Lot was trying to tell them, and they laughed. They mocked. You know why? Couldn't believe anything. And let me tell you something. You raise your children, and they see your life one way where they don't have any confidence in you whatsoever. There'll come a time when you'll try to tell them something serious, and they won't hear you. You'll have no influence in them whatsoever. And so not only did Lot linger, but his son-in-law's laughed. And then the Bible also tells us that his wife looked. She looked back. You see, they tried to bring her out of Sodom, and they got her body out of Sodom, but they couldn't get Sodom out of her. She loved it back there. And so the Bible says that she looked back. And you know, one time Jesus preached a message, one of the shortest messages in the Bible. He said, remember Lot's wife. And she looked back. And her desire was in the things in Sodom. And she couldn't stomach the idea of leaving the life that she'd built. And therefore, even though impending danger, she still wanted to hang on to it. I cannot tell you how many people have told me before, oh, preacher, I know one of these days. I know hell's real. I know judgment's coming. But they just keep hanging on. They just keep looking back. And you just, in regards to how you try to drag them out, they just keep looking back. Then the Bible also said there's something else. That his daughters, They lusted to have a child by Lot. The amazing thing, when you follow those children that they had, they remind me, and you've heard me preach upon the Moabites and Ammonites. When you follow them in the Bible, there's a couple things that you learn. You see, they came from, because Lot was wealthy, they came from a wealthy background, but what they did was they was constantly wanting to be around the people of God, but they wasn't the people of God. They was constantly causing problems to the children of Israel. They was constantly wanting what the children of Israel had, but they wanted to live like the world too. And so the children of Lot, when you follow the grandchildren and their generations that happen, the Bible said that the Ammonites would always discomfort the children of Israel. In other words, they'd always be a thorn in their side because of what Lot had done. And I really believe this. I believe that we have a lot of children of saved people like Lot that's gotten out of the fellowship with God. And though because of their because they went after riches and they went after choices that they made, now their children are dying, going to hell, and yet they hang around the things of God, but they not really have God in their heart. And then another generation or two, and it will really show itself. Because a couple other generations down from Moab and Ammon, you saw the wickedness that come out of those people. And instead of a longing to be with the people of God, they were always fighting against the people of God. As a matter of fact, the first people that Israel had to fight when they come over was the Ammonites, the children of the descendants of Lot. And so my point tonight is this. We need to be very, very careful. And I know in my own life, and I know I've been there at times, and I know some of you have been there at times, and we've got to be very careful, because God has blessed us. Amen. Someone asked me one time, they said, "Preacher, why doesn't God just give the church? Why don't let the church have a lot of money?" Have you ever heard this? I've had some tell me this. "Preacher, I play the lottery because if I win, I'm going to give the church some money." Ever hear that? Can I tell you something? The wealthiest churches listed in the Bible is the last church age of Laodicea. Wealth is something they have, but Jesus is something they don't have. The Bible says that he's on the outside knocking, wanting in, and he's going to spew them out of his mouth. Can I tell you that I don't believe the Lord means for our churches to be wealthy. I believe that we ought to come giving as God has prospered us. We ought to take that. We ought to send the gospel to as many places in the world as we can. And I believe that God blesses that. Somebody said, "Well, preacher, I know so-and-so, they have these new buildings and they have all this new stuff." We could have those things. Have we not supported the missions that we supported? It's amazing what we could have done. Have we not been concerned about issues that we've had here and taken on the missions that we've taken on? It would be a lot easier to have things. But sometimes things are not the answer. And so tonight, what I want to share with you was, I don't know why the Lord put that passage, but I was reading over there in chapter 13 and it just stuck with me. Lot's choices and the division between him and Abraham. And then I think about this, and I'll close with this thought. Think about Lot's family. I think that's the saddest story in the Bible. Here's a man that has experienced a relationship with God. He'd been around someone like Abraham. And everybody in his family dies and goes to hell. How sad is that? So we need to be much in prayer. much on guard. And you have to remember, it all started in the fellowship with him and Abraham. And so we need to be careful that we don't allow something to happen in the fellowship that separates someone out and creates those kind of issues in your life. Be very prayerful. Brother Porter, as we get a song. Maybe you hear.